Hey, what's up? Hello, everybody. Welcome to In the Room, a wrestling podcast from the Des Moines Register. I'm Cody Goodwin, the Register's wrestling writer, and I am glad you are here. Happy Thursday, March 11th, 1 week out from the 2021 NCAA Division I National Championships, and literally 1 day away from the Division II National Tournament, the Division III National Tournament, and the NAIA Women's National Championships as well. Another busy weekend coming up, full of wrestling, kind of an appetizer for next week's main course down in St. Louis. On today's show, we're going to break down the brackets for the Division I National Tournament, weight by weight. The NCAA released them yesterday, and there will be 24 total wrestlers from Iowa's Division I programs competing at the Enterprise Center next week. That's all 10 for the Hawkeyes after Max Mirren got an at-large at 149 pounds. Then you've got 8 from Iowa State and 6 from Northern Iowa. There's also going to be 6 more Iowa natives that are competing for other schools that are going to be down in St. Louis next week. We're going to touch on all of them as we go through each weight on today's show. After that, I have a conversation lined up with Wartburg coach Eric Keller. Wartburg and I believe 33 other schools are headed to Coralville this weekend for the NWCA Division III National Championships at Extreme Arena. This came after the NCAA decided to cancel all Division III Winter Sports Championships because of a lack of participation. So I talked to Keller about that decision, what it's been like navigating these last 12 months, how his team came together during that time, and kind of what he's expecting out of them this weekend. Pretty fun show today, the first of many that you're going to get in the lead up to next week's big show in St. Louis. So buckle up, you guys, because we're only getting started. So let's cue up that intro music. We'll go through the NCAA brackets on the other side. Thanks a bunch for tuning in today, and I hope you guys enjoy. Hey guys, so normally I script these things out and read off my phone so it sounds a lot cleaner and I don't say or like 100 times, but for this, see, just like right there. For this particular segment, though, I literally have nothing written. I have the brackets pulled up on my phone. I'm going to go literally off the dome to give you guys my unfiltered thoughts for each weight. I'll make sure to point out where every Iowa, Iowa State, Northern Iowa, and Iowa native is in each bracket, if they are in a bracket, their potential paths to the finals, and other things that catch my eye in each bracket. If you'd like to follow along, head to the show notes and click on the bracket link. I put it down there just for you guys, so hopefully you'll be able to kind of piece together my unfiltered thoughts for each guy and each weight. So that sound good? How about we just get this thing cracking? Let's cue up that background music, and we'll start with 125 pounds. Spencer Lee from Iowa, obviously the one seed, 7-0 this season. Brody Teske from Northern Iowa, he's the 5 seed. And then Kyson Tarakina from Iowa State, he picked up one of the at-larges at this weight. He's actually the 33 overall seed, so he's going to be in the pigtail against Patrick McCormick from Virginia. The winner is going to get Spencer in the first round. So now everybody, Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, guy, in this particular bracket, they're all at the top. Spencer being the one seed, you'd presume that he has probably the easiest path to get through. I really like kind of where he's at in the bracket. Things really, really get interesting for him. I say interesting. I mean, we're talking about Spencer Lee here, so take it however it's worth. Friday morning in the quarterfinals, he could see potentially Purdue's Devin Schroeder, who's the 9 seed, or Michigan State's Ravon Foley, who's the 8 seed. Those guys could hit in the second round. If Spencer gets to the quarters, presumably he gets the winner there. Obviously, he pinned Foley at the Big Ten tournament, and he beat Schroeder in the finals by technical fall. Should he get to the semifinals, this is where things get kind of fun, right? Brody Teske is the 5 seed, so you would think that he would be able to get through to the quarters without much fuss. He could see either Oklahoma State's Trevor Master Giovanni or Northwestern's Michael DiAgostino in the second round, so that could be interesting. But if he gets to the quarters, probably going to see Drew Hildebrandt from Central Michigan, who's the 4 seed, MAC champ, undefeated. I think that'd be a really good test for Brody. Obviously, the winner secures a spot in the top 6, right? So, uber important match there. So, we could see Spencer Lee, Brody Teske in the semifinals at 125. That'd be pretty fun for the state of Iowa. Be really, really cool for Brody Teske. I know after everything that he's been through, just transferring from Penn State back to Northern Iowa, he's had a heck of a season. Be pretty freaking fantastic to see him not only All-American, but really, I mean, into the top 6. You get a crack at Spencer Lee on Friday night. Pretty dang cool. Other side of this bracket, Virginia Tech's Sam Latona, 10-0. He's the 2 seed. And then you got Arizona State's Brandon Courtney, who's the 3 seed. Nothing huge sticks out, I think. You know, the second round, there's some pretty juicy matchups down there. Could see Michigan's Dylan Ragusan against NC State's Jacob Camacho. That's the Ragusan's the 11, Camacho's the 6. That could be pretty fun. Robert Hauer, Malik Heinzelman, Penn State, Ohio State right there in the first round. Winner probably gets Taylor Lamont from Utah Valley in the second round. That could be kind of fun. Mizzou's Noah Certain. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. I haven't really watched a ton of Mizzou this season. But hey, he's got Patrick McKee in the first round. McKee fell to the 16 seed after, or 15 seed, excuse me, after a pretty tough Big Ten tournament. So yeah, a lot more juicier in the second round there. If McKee wins, McKee certain winner gets Latona in the second round. So quarterfinals, probably potentially looking at Brandon Courtney against either Ragusan or Camacho. Then you could have either Howard, Heinzelman, or Lamont against Latona or McKee, I guess, or certain, depending on whoever comes out of the bottom half there. Pretty fun weight. You know, that whoever comes out of that bottom side, man, they're going to have to earn it, which, you know, everybody who's on the bottom side, they're probably happy that they don't have to go through Spencer Lee to get to the finals. Anyway, on to 133. Who we got here? We got a lot here. We got Iowa's Austin DeSanto. He is the 4 seed, so he's got Little Rock's Paul Bianchi first round. Pretty cool there for Little Rock, right? Paul Bianchi is their first NCAA qualifier in program history. Congratulations for getting to the national tournament. Here's Austin DeSanto in the first round Thursday morning, right? So kind of a tough draw there. Winner there, actually, we could see another Cy-Hawk matchup if Zach Redding from Iowa State, true freshman, took third at the Big 12 tournament. He's got Ryan Sullivan from West Virginia. They could have met in the second round, or I guess the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament, but Sullivan injury defaulted to Jack Skidlarzik, so we had some Cyclone Panther action there instead. So we'll get to see Redding wrestle him, assuming Sullivan is healthy. So if Redding and DeSanto both win in the first round, that's your second round matchup right there on the top side of the bracket. Mickey Phillippe from Pittsburgh is the 5 seed, so you got to presume if Redding and DeSanto meet, winner probably gets Phillippe in the quarters. Jarrett Trombley from NC State, that's another name you guys got to watch kind of in that quad, or I guess that quarter of the bracket. All of this is on the top side. Another name to watch, Bryce West from Northern Illinois. He got in as the 33 seed at this weight. So if he wins the pigtail, he'll get Dayton Fix from Oklahoma State. Congratulations, right? So yeah, whether it's Phillippe or Trombley or Redding or DeSanto, whoever comes out of the bottom half of that quad, I guess, probably going to see Dayton Fix in the semifinals, right? I got to presume that. Dayton Fix has looked quite good this year. I don't really see anybody in his top half of the quarter, or I guess his quarter of the bracket, that is going to give him much fuss. But I like DeSanto's path here. I think there's absolutely that possibility that he's wrestling on Friday night. Phillippe, I know, is going to be a pretty tough customer should they match up. But, you know, kind of my running theory, and it's bared out everywhere else. If somebody hasn't wrestled DeSanto before and they wrestle him for the first time, 95% of the time they don't. Things tend to go DeSanto's way, right? So I don't know that Phillippe and DeSanto, I don't believe, have wrestled. So that quarterfinal matchup, got to think it probably goes in DeSanto's favor. Then he gets a crack at Dayton Fix. We'll see how that one goes. Bottom half of the bracket, Penn State's Roman Bravo Young, he's the 2 seed. Virginia Tech's Corbin Myers is the 3 seed. I like the Moshe Schwartz-Kyle Berwick matchup there. The winner probably gets RBY in the second round. Boo Dryden, Louis Hayes. That's got some intrigue to it. Lucas Bird from Illinois is the 7 seed. He could potentially see RBY in the quarters. Matt Schmidt from Mizzou, Anthony Madrigal from Oklahoma, that could be a second round matchup. Zach Price from South Dakota State, from Johnston originally, he's the 14 seed. So if he can beat Chance Rich from Cal State Bakersfield, probably see Myers in the second round. Have to keep an eye on how that goes. A lot of local dudes at 133. I think the quarters probably in the bottom half, if the seeds hold, is Myers versus Schmidt and then Bird versus RBY. But I think there's enough landmines there in the bottom half of the bracket that probably won't go to seed. So yeah, that's 33. We're moving on to 141, where Iowa's Jaden Ironman is the 1 seed. So again, he'll wrestle the pigtail winner, which is going to be either Caden Rooks from Indiana or Vinny Vespa from Hofstra. Both of those guys currently have losing records, so that could probably be bonus points for Ironman. We'll just see. His path to the finals could include, could see Chad Redd in the quarters from Nebraska. I know he beat him pretty handily at the Big Ten tournament. But you'd gotta keep an eye on March Chad Redd. Guy tends to ball out when the calendar flips to March. Then in the semifinals, this is where things I think get really interesting. The bottom half the bottom quad of the top half of the bracket, if that makes sense. You got Oklahoma's Dom Demas at the 5 seed. Oregon State's Grant Willits at the 12 seed, and his first round matchup is Real Woods from Stanford. So have fun with that, right? And then the 4 seed is Tariq Wilson. So you could have Woods, Willits, winner probably gets Dom Demas. Winner of that second round matchup probably gets Tariq Wilson in the quarterfinals. And the winner of that is probably who Ironman sees in the semifinals, assuming he does his job and gets through Chad Red. So that's not an easy path, guys. I know he really took it to Red, and he looked really, really good when they wrestled both in the duel and at Big Tens. But Chad Red's still a very dangerous customer. And then in the semifinals, Real Woods, Dom Demas, Tariq Wilson, whoever it turns out being, they're going to be dangerous. They're going to be athletic. They're going to be quick. Ironman is going to have to be on his A game on Friday if he's going to want to get to Saturday night. Bottom half of the bracket, Nick Lee from Penn State's the 2 seed. Rutgers' Sebastian Rivera is the 3 seed. Very Big Ten heavy here. Iowa State's Ian Parker is the 7 seed, so he opens up against Northwestern's Colin Valdiviez. That's absolutely a winnable match. You win that one, probably going to get Zach Sherman from North Carolina. So I like Ian Parker's path to the quarters, where he'll presumably match up against Nick Lee. We'll see, you know, make sure that he gets through. If he wins his first round match, he'll get either Clay Carlson from South Dakota State or Parker Phillips from Purdue. Like Nick Lee's odds there to get to the quarters. So that'd be an interesting match right there Friday morning for Ian Parker if he's able to get through. Sebastian Rivera, I know there's Alan Hart from Mizzou is there. It looks like that's kind of maybe his toughest test if he wants to get to Friday night in the semifinals. That'd be a pretty fun quarterfinal match there between Rivera and Hart. So I like this bracket definitely. A lot of the talent, or a lot of the known commodities, I guess, are on the top half at 141. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how all of that unfolds and who ultimately gets to the final. And especially, you know, if Sebastian Rivera and Nick Lee want to run back their rematch in the semifinals on Friday night, would not be mad. Would definitely not be mad, especially with the national finals berth on the line. That could be huge, and expect a lot of fireworks. So that's 41. Moving on to 49. I know that there was a change in this bracket. I know that Northern Colorado's Andrew Alirez, I believe he pulled out because of an injury. He was the 32 seed, so you got to presume whoever moves into his place. I haven't seen the updated brackets yet. They just slide into the pigtail, where the winner will get Sammy Sasso from Ohio State, who's the 1 seed. So congratulations if you get through to that, right? This is an interesting bracket. You got Iowa's Max Mirren. He's the 12 seed. So I guess the 0-2 at Big Tens obviously hurt his seeding, but the fact that the guys that he lost to, Ridge Lovett from Nebraska, got to the finals, and then Mike Van Brill from Rutgers finished third, I imagine that probably helped him a little bit when it came to the coaches' rankings. At least that's my one rationale. So he's the 12 seed. He's got Graham Rooks from Indiana first round. You win that, you get a pretty quick shot at redemption too. This entire little quad right here is all Big Ten wrestlers. So Ridge Lovett from Nebraska has ended up the 5 seed. He's got Michigan State's Peyton Omania in the first round, which is absolutely excellent. Expect tons of bombs and throws and Greco, and I'm very, very excited to watch that match. But yeah, hey, Lovett's there as the 5 seed. You presume if the seeds hold, Mirren gets Lovett there in the second round, you get a quick shot at redemption there. So this could be a pretty quick Thursday turnaround for Max Mirren. We'll see how he does. Don't count out Omania, though. That guy can throw a headlock from quite literally anywhere on either side. So don't count out Greco, guys. Never count out Greco. If Mirren's able to get to the quarters, probably got to thank Bula Wallen from Oklahoma State's the guy he's going to wrestle. Although Mitch Moore from Oklahoma is the 13 seed, that could potentially be a second round matchup. Mitch Moore for Bula Wallen. That's your quarterfinal match. Top half of the top side of the bracket. Got to think it's probably Sammy Sasso or Bust. Although some interesting matchups there as well. Legend Lamer from Cal Poly, he's real tough. And then you've got Northwestern's Yaya Thomas against Stanford's Jaden Abbas in the first round. That's pretty gnarly, right? So winner there probably gets Lamer in the second round. And then the winner of that match probably gets Sasso in the quarters on Friday morning. So pretty fun top half of the bracket there. Bottom half of the bracket, Austin O'Connor from North Carolina, he's the 2 seed. Mizzou's Brock Mahler is the 3 seed. Michael Blockus from Minnesota, New Hampton and Crestwood, I guess. You know, that he could see Mahler in the second round. He's got Navy's Casey Cobb in the first round. Blockus does. So we see if he can, you know, he ended up fourth at the Big Ten tournament. So can he follow that momentum up and see what he can do against Mahler in that second round? That'd be kind of fun. Also got Bryce Andonian from Virginia Tech. He's got Josh Feinsilver from Duke in the first round. Winner of that one probably sees Michigan's Kanan Store. It's weird to highlight the 6-27 matchup, but here we are. You know, Andonian and Feinsilver. Andonian's a six seed. So Andonian's a guy that could absolutely bust this bracket, but it's not going to be easy, right? Because, you know, I think he gets through Feinsilver and Store fine, but Mahler is so technically sound that I don't know how much he's actually going to bust this bracket. But hey, not out of the question that he could get to the semifinals, which would be pretty fun because you got to think he'll probably see AOC, right? AOC side of the bottom half of the bracket. It's gotten you and I in ISU. So we got Tristan Lara from North Carolina. He's the 23 seed, if we're, you know, seeding all the way out that far, which I guess we are. He's got Mike Van Brill in the first round, Rutgers, who drew the 10 spot. That's a winnable match for Tristan Lara, guys. And then, so if he's able to do that, he gets to the second round against probably Jonathan Milner from Appalachian State. That, guys, that's another winnable match. Don't rule out, I mean, obviously he's got a win, and the last time I think I said this, Lance Runyon ended up going down with an injury, but don't rule out Tristan Lara's run to the quarterfinals, man. That's a quad he can win. Put it that way. It would not shock me at all to see him do it. Obviously, he has to go do it. Mike Van Brill's very tough, so is Jonathan Milner. But hey, Tristan Lara, more than capable of getting to the quarterfinals, which would be pretty fun. Iowa State's Jarrett Dagan. He's got Griffin Perriott first round. Perriott drew the 15 seed. So if Dagan can win that one, he'll probably see Austin O'Connor in the second round. So Lara and Dagan are in the same quarter, but they wouldn't meet until the quarterfinals if you're looking at the bracket, if that makes sense, right? So Dagan, I think he can beat Perriott. I don't know if he can beat Austin O'Connor, who's just way too technically sound. So Austin O'Connor potentially could go through Iowa State and Northern Iowa in order to get to the semifinals, where he could see Andonian, potentially Mahler, maybe Blockus if he brings his A game. Who knows? That's a pretty fun bottom half of the bracket right there. On to 157. Let's see. We'll start here with Iowa's Caleb Young. Every time I start with these brackets, I'm going top and then bottom. So I'm sure you guys have probably picked up on that. So Iowa's Caleb Young, he's the 5 seed here. He's got a Connor Brady from Virginia Tech first round. Absolutely a winnable match. He could see Penn State's Brady Berge in the second round. So Brady Berge's got a Navy's Andrew Cerniglia. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I'm probably not. So if Young and Berge both win, that's your second round match. Winner gets to the quarters. Guys, I like Caleb Young's draw here. I don't see anybody who, you know, could stop him from getting to the semifinals, really. I mean, I know Rutgers' Jesse Delvecchia is the 4 seed. He's 7-0. You know, Oregon State's Hunter Willits is the 13 seed, 9-3. You know, but I don't know, man. I think Caleb Young could absolutely get to the semifinals here. You got to beat Brady, probably got to beat Berge, you know, then Delvecchia or Willits, and then boom, you're in the semifinals where you probably get Ryan Deacon. Deacon's the 1 seed here. He'll get the pigtail winner. Then he'll probably have to go through North Dakota State's Jared Fronick or Purdue's Kendall Coleman in order to get to the semifinals. But just watching the way Ryan Deacon's been wrestling, I really don't see much of an issue there. So Big Ten Finals rematch in the NCAA semifinals. That's absolutely possible. So we'll keep an eye on that. Bottom half of the bracket, NC State's Hayden Heidley is the 2 seed, and Iowa State's David Carr is the 3 seed. It's not going to be an easy path to the semifinals, but guys, I really think David Carr can get there. And then at that point, you got to put together one good match against presumably Hayden Heidley if you want to get through. So David Carr opens with Josh McClure from North Carolina. You win there, you probably get Will LeJuan from Michigan, who's the 14 seed in the second round. David Carr can win that one. So if he gets to the quarters, you're probably looking at either Brayton Lee from Minnesota or Ja'Cory Teamer from Arizona State. He's beaten Teamer, I think, twice, at least once for sure that I know of. Brayton Lee, very tough customer. Nobody that David Carr can't beat, though, so not out of the question that we see Iowa and Iowa State in the semifinals at 157 pounds. So David Carr, if he gets to the semifinals, probably going to see Hayden Heidley, who's the 2 seed. You know, elsewhere in this bracket, Jarrett Jacques from Mizzou is the 7 seed. He'll probably have to get through either Justin Thomas or Jacob Wright to get to the quarters. And then Kay DeVos from South Dakota State, shout out Southeast Polk. He has number 15 Chase Aldate from Michigan State in the first round. If he wins, he'll probably see Heidley. You know, kind of a not the I mean, not that there's a good draw at the NCAA championships because all these guys are really freaking good, but, you know, DeVos, if he's able to get through Saldate, which, you know, he's technically sound enough that's entirely possible, congrats, you get Hayden Heidley on Thursday night. So we'll see what happens. Pretty fun wait overall. And again, wouldn't shock me to see Caleb Young and David Carr both in the semifinals on Friday night. It's entirely possible. You know, and the more and more I think about it, the more that maybe I think David Carr has a shot against Hayden Heidley, even though Heidley beat him pretty decisively at the U.S. Men's Freestyle National Championships back in October. So I'm still sleeping on my picks, and I'll post those for you guys on Monday like I normally do. I usually say something to the effect of just so I'm on the record, and then I throw out my 10 names, and then away we go to start the week, right? So that's 157 pounds. That's halfway through. We're going to take a quick break here because that's 20 minutes of just me rambling. And we will be we'll be right back with the second half of the NCAA brackets. All right, guys, we're going to wrap up with the final five weights here. Off-the-cuff thoughts. Like I said, normally I have these podcasts scripted out. This time I don't, because I'm just literally scrolling through the brackets and giving you guys my unfiltered thoughts. We hit the first five weights in that first one, so we're going to wrap up with 65 through heavyweight. And yeah, we got another one seed for the Hawkeyes. Alex Marinelli, number one at 165. I think this is a weight where just two of them. In-state wrestlers are here, and they could meet in the first round. Wow, I need to use English. Northern Iowa's Austin Yant is the 33 seed at the NCAA championships, so he's in the pigtail match. He's got Ricky Stamm of Hofstra, and if he wins, congratulations, Austin Yant, you get Alex Marinelli. That might be, I tweeted this out earlier, I think when the brackets first came out, that Alex Marinelli's path to the NCAA championships, or at least to the NCAA finals, could include Austin Yant, NC State's Thomas Bullard, could see Shane Griffith from Stanford, and then Makai Lewis from Virginia Tech. That's freaking gnarly, man. And I think there was somebody that really quickly was just like, is Austin Yant a landmine? I don't consider him a landmine, but this is a guy that just, he wrestles really hard, and his matches are always close, and clearly he turned a corner last year in March, and now obviously being injured all year, and then he goes and takes fifth at the Big 12 tournament, so now he's here at the NCAA championships. Like, guy's worthy, and I wouldn't rule out, I don't know that he's going to beat Alex Marinelli, but I wouldn't rule out him winning a handful of matches in the Russellbacks either, just because he keeps the matches close and he gives himself a chance, and so then it's just a matter of executing your offense, right? So it wouldn't shock me at all to see Yant win, and then you get Marinelli. And then, like I said earlier, Marinelli could see NC State's Thomas Bullard in the second round. And then you get either, Luke Weber from North Dakota State, who was the Big 12 champ, against Shane Griffith from Stanford. That's a second round matchup. Winner probably sees Marinelli in the quarters. And then you could see, it's not just Makai Lewis who's on the other side of that bracket. You could see Zach Hartman from Bucknell, who's pretty tough. Jake Keating from Virginia, Tanner Skidgel from Navy. I think those are, I think that's the, Lewis is the four, Hartman's the five, Keating's the 12, Skidgel's the 13. Probably going to be Makai Lewis. I wonder where he's at health-wise, though. I know even a less than 100% Makai Lewis is still very, very dangerous, so maybe Hartman sneaks through there, though, if he's not. Can't look ahead of Shane Griffith either, potentially, or Luke Weber. He looked really, really good last week at the Big 12 tournament. There are a lot of people that were saying, Marinelli, we wouldn't have it any other way if he wants to win an NCAA title, right? I tend to agree. That's kind of his mindset, just getting to know the guy over the last few years. Why not? Let's, get her done. What a way to win, to get to the finals on Saturday. And then who could you see on the other side? Well, you got Anthony Valencia at the two seed. And then you got Jake Wetzel from Pitt at the three seed. Man, this is so, the bottom half of 165, man, I personally think it's wide open, and I say that as a guy who, I've seen Anthony Valencia a couple times this year, obviously got to watch him beat Shane Griffith. He didn't just beat Shane Griffith, he beat Shane Griffith at the Pac-12 finals. Jake Wenzel's the ACC champ, he was beating Makai Lewis when Lewis got hurt. That was the match where they got hurt during the regular season. But then look who else is here, right? Nebraska's Peyton Robb's the 14 seed, he could see Wenzel in the second round. Cam Amin, Kennedy Monday in the first round. That looks like a lot of fun. The winner probably sees Missouri's Keegan O'Toole. Opposite side on the bottom quad, you got Ethan Smith from Ohio State. He could see Travis Whitlake from Oklahoma State in the second round, but Whitlake's got to get through Joe Lee first. And then Dan Bronigal and Isaac Alejnik. Bronigal from Illinois, Alejnik from Northern Illinois. Winner probably gets Valencia in the second round. Guys, I think the bottom half of this bracket's wide open. I know I joked earlier when the brackets came out, like, guys, are we ready for Keegan O'Toole versus Travis Whitlake for the NCAA semifinal? I mean, that'd be the 6th seed versus the 10th seed, but that's, like, I fully believe that that's an entire, like, that's a possibility, right? Like, my Mizzou fandom's probably coming through and thinking that O'Toole can get to the semifinals. But, you know, if he can get through Wentzel, and Wentzel I know is really, really tough. He's a hammer on top. He's tough to take down. Keegan O'Toole is just funky enough that he could probably produce enough offense to maybe win that match. Will he? I don't know. But it'd be a really fun quarterfinal match on Friday morning. You could sign me up for that. I'm a big fan of Whitlake's draw here, though. You know, I think nothing from Ethan Smith screams that Whitlake can't beat him. Nothing from Valencia that I've seen screams that Whitlake can't beat him. Absolutely out of the 10 spot, I could see him in the NCAA semifinals. And he's probably all sorts of motivated because Luke Weber beat him last week, right? And I thought Whitlake was probably going to be the guy to win 65 at the Big 12, which would probably have positioned him as the 2 or 3 seed, depending on how the rest of this went. I mean, he's 16-1, so if he wins it, he'd have been 16-0, which, you know, more wins. Maybe he's the 2 seed. I don't know. But out of the 10 spot, I like that draw. It's a tough draw, but I like that draw for Travis Whitlake. That's 165. Obviously, I had a lot of thoughts there. We're moving on to 74. Where Michael Kemmer from Iowa is the 1 seed. He'll get the pigtail winner, either Jacob Nolan from Binghamton or Drew Hughes from Michigan State. Really weird to see guys with losing records at the NCAA championships, but I guess that's just kind of the season it is. So Kemmer probably gets the winner there. I don't know that there's really much to worry about for Kemmer until you get to the quarterfinals. I guess Clay Lott from North Carolina is pretty tough, but I don't know that he's anything Kemmer can't handle. So when you get to the quarters, probably going to see either Daniel Bullard from NC State or Donnell Washington from Indiana. That's the 8th, the 9 seed. That's probably the second round matchup. Winner probably gets Kemmer in the quarters. Then you get to the semifinals and things get really interesting. Because on the other side of the top half of the bracket, Logan Mass is the 5 seed. So I like his path to the quarters. And then you've got Mikey Labriola from Nebraska, who's the 4 seed. He has, by the way, Northern Iowa's Lance Runyon in the first round. So we'll see how healthy Lance Runyon is. I don't even think a fully healthy Runyon can get Labriola right now. Maybe in a couple years, we'll see how much he progresses. I just think Labs might be a little too much this year, especially if Runyon's still dealing with some injuries. So probably going to see massive Labs in the quarters. Winner would likely get Kemmer in the semifinals. I think Labs has the proper amount of hips and technique and offensive ability and wrestling IQ to take down Kemmer. Like, that's, I think the two guys in this bracket, and this is no disrespect to the bottom half of the bracket at 174, the two guys that can beat Michael Kemmer in this bracket are both in the top side. And it's Logan Massa, and it's Mikey Labriola. And I know Iowa fans are probably going to roll their eyes because Kemmer beat Massa, and he beat him pretty handily in the Big Ten quarterfinals, or the Big Ten semifinals, excuse me. But those are the two guys that I think can get the job done. So if it's Labs, I that'll be a really intriguing Friday night match. If it's Massa, I still think it's going to be a very intriguing Friday night match. You know, that's just my immediate thoughts. Again, no disrespect to the guys on the bottom side. But that's just, those are the two guys that I think can beat Kemmer this weekend, or I guess next weekend. And they're all on the same side of the bracket. On the opposite side of the bracket, you got Utah Valley's Demetrius Romero. He's the 2 seed. Penn State's Carter Storace is the 3 seed. Some really intriguing matchups here, I think. Wouldn't shock me at all to kind of see the seeds hold on the bottom side of the bracket. So you probably get Storace, Romero in the semifinals. You know, but keep an eye on Hayden Hastings from Wyoming. That guy's pretty dangerous. You know, there's also, you know, Andrew McNally from Kent State. He's pretty tough. Caleb Romero from Ohio State. Wouldn't shock me at all to see him get through Romero. Romero on Romero quarterfinal matchup. But, there, you know, Peyton Mocko, the 10 seed at Mizzou, he's down there. Dustin Plott from Oklahoma State. I don't know that he just has the man strength yet to maybe handle some of these guys, but we'll see. You know, if he can get through his first round match, he'd see Romero in the second round, presumably. So, you know, maybe the quarterfinals are a little bit more interesting. I really like Storace's draw at 74. I don't think really he should see a whole lot of fuss if he can get through. You know, I really don't see a lot of fuss for him until he gets to the semifinals. I think he's just that good. But there he could see either Caleb Romero, Demetrius Romero, maybe Peyton Mocko if he makes a run. I don't know. Semifinals in the bottom half of 74, that could be where things get really interesting. Okay. 184. Aaron Brooks is your top seed from Penn State. And then you got quite a few Iowa ties here, and they're all on the top side of the bracket. So you've got, let's start here. Nelson Brands from Iowa, he's the 12 seed. This sounds about right. I mean, this is a weird, funky weight where a lot of the talent, you know, I know Aaron Brooks obviously is in the Big Ten, but a lot of the other talent, I mean, this is a pretty wide open weight, right? Like there's a lot of guys, you know, Trent Heidley's the 2 seed. We'll touch on him in a minute. Louis Dupre from Binghamton's the 3 seed. Parker Kickeisen from Northern Iowa, he's the 4 seed. Congratulations on a phenomenal season, young man. You get Sam Colbury in the first round. I'm not kidding. I find it really, really dumb that they pair up conference opponents. I know in some cases it's not feasible and it's not, they're just not able to break them up. But this is kind of silly, right? Parker Kekeisen and Sam Colbury, Northern Iowa, Iowa State in the first round. I know it kind of speaks a little bit more to Sam Colbury's volatility a little bit. You know, a few years ago, he was in the Big 12 finals against Drew Foster. He made the NCAA quarterfinals that same year. Now here he is, 6-3. He took, what, fifth place at the Big 12 tournament. So where do you put him? Because he didn't really wrestle a whole lot this season. I kind of get it, but it's also just like, really, you know? So that's a first round matchup. You know, Nelson Brands is in the same quarter, but not in the same quad, if that makes sense. So, and then the other Iowa tie here is Max Lyon from Purdue. He's the 16 seed. So, he's got Owen Webster from Minnesota first round. If he wins, he probably gets Aaron Brooks in the second round. You know, Taylor Venz is also on this side of the bracket. Good God, man, this weight is deep. He's the 8 seed, so you could see Brooks Venz in the quarterfinals, and that would be a rematch of the Big Ten finals, that Brooks won pretty handily. That's assuming Venz gets through Jeremiah Kent from Mizzou. We'll see what happens. Anyway, back to Nelson Brands. He's the 12 seed. If he gets through Dominic Ducharme from Cal State Bakersfield, probably going to see Hunter Bolin from Virginia Tech in the second round. That's a pretty tough second round matchup. Not unwinnable, but Nelson's going to have to bring his best on Thursday night if he's going to want to win that match. So if he wins that one, probably see Kekeisen in the quarterfinals. I really like the way Kekeisen has progressed. I think he'll beat Colbury. I know in the duel it was a barn burner. You know, it came down to Kekeisen having to score not once but twice in the third period because they wiped away one of the first takedowns. So if he wins, he beats Colbury in the first round. He gets Wisconsin's Christopher Weiler. That's absolutely a winnable match. Wouldn't shock me at all to see Parker Kekeisen in the NCAA semifinals, right? Like, he's going to have to get through Hunter Bolin, and Weiler and Colbury are obviously, you don't sleep on those guys, but this is a path that's possible, right? And then you get Parker Kekeisen and Aaron Brooks. That'll be a rematch of the Junior World Team Trials Finals. That could be pretty fun, guys. And also just great exposure for Northern Iowa to get a guy on Friday night in the semifinals. That's ESPN Maine. You know, him and Brody Teske both, I think, had pads to the semifinals. That'd be pretty cool. So yeah, pretty loaded top side at 184. Bottom side, like I mentioned, Trent Heidley from NC State, he's the 2 seed. Louis Dupre from Binghamton is the 3 seed. You got not as much firepower, but there's some interesting things going on here, right? You got Britt Wilson from Northern Illinois, the 7 seed. You know, he could wrestle Tate Samuelson from Wyoming. That's who Kekeisen had to beat in the Big 12 finals. That could be a second round match. Lane Malchewski from Michigan State gets Alan Clothier from Northern Colorado. That could be a really fun first round match. Winner probably gets Heidley. You know, John Posnanski from Rutgers is the 6 seed. He could see Dakota Gear in the second round from Oklahoma State. Winner of that one probably gets Dupre. So there's some interesting second round matchups. I really like the Malchewski Clothier matchup in the first round. That can be a lot of fun. You know, that's, and then, you know, you get to the quarterfinals, you know, potential, if the seeds hold, Dupre, Posnanski, Britt Wilson, Trent Heidley, probably looking at Dupre, Heidley, but I think I said this at Big Tens, don't rule out John Posnanski. That kid's good, man. Like, he's really good. Wouldn't shock me at all to see him in the semifinals. So we'll see what happens. Lou Dupre is pretty seasoned. So that'd be a pretty tough match for him, but that's 184. You know, Aaron Brooks, Trent Heidley, I think is the finals match that everybody wants, but Lou Dupre and John Posnanski and, you know, perhaps even Parker Kekeisen or Hunter Bolin, they all might have something to say about it. Same thing with Taylor Venz. I mean, let's not forget Taylor Venz has a win over Aaron Brooks. Pretty fun weight to be quite honest. There's a lot going on here and, you know, just kind of looking at, you know, Kekeisen, should he get to the semifinals? That's top 6. You know, Nelson Brands, I think he's probably gonna have to come through the Russellbacks if he's gonna want to win it. So, you know, let's say the seed holds and he gets to the blood round. That would put him, if I can read the bracket correctly, 297. You guys probably enjoy this. This is great podcasting. So that would put him loser of 372. He'd probably have to beat either Samuelson or Wilson, assuming that Trent Hydeley wins that quarterfinal match, or maybe Hydeley loses, I don't know. That's who he's probably going to have to beat in the Russellbacks if he's going to want to be an All-American, which is not out of the question, I don't think. So we'll see what happens. Pretty fun weight there at 184. Moving on to 97, because I've spent way too much time on 84. Jacob Warner is your 5 seed from Iowa. So he's got Nick Reenan from NC State. Good God, man, this weight is bananas, right? Especially at the top half of this weight. You guys ready for this? So you got Miles Amin as the 1 seed. You know, a potential second round matchup in the 8-9 matchup is Noah Adams from West Virginia, Steve Buchanan from Wyoming. That sounds like a lot of fun. Warner, if he gets through Nick Reenan, is either going to get Lucas Davison from Northwestern, who he beat at Big Tens, or Iowa State's Marcus Coleman, who only drew the 21 seed after scoring 4 pins at the Big 12 tournament last week. Kind of weird, right? So whoever wins that matchup is going to move to the quarterfinals, where they could see either A.J. Ferrari for Oklahoma State or Auburnet grad Tanner Sloan, who now wrestles for South Dakota State. So, yeah, that's a mess. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, I know Reenan's really good. Maybe not like a fully supercharged 97 pounder. You know, he's got really good technique. You know, and he can attack in bursts. But you know, if Warner uses heavy hands to stay is in good position at the match, he should absolutely win. You know, then he gets Coleman, who's very dangerous, or Davison, who's beaten. So I kind of like Warner's path to the quarters there. And then he gets either Tanner Sloan or AJ Ferrari, which neither of those guys are easy. I know Tanner Sloan beat Warner pretty good the last time they met up in the Midland semifinals. And then AJ Ferrari could potentially be my guy to win it. Like, that was my gut reaction. We're assuming he can get through Miles Amin. I don't know how that's going to go yet. That's also assuming AJ Ferrari beats Jacob Warner. So we'll see. I've been really impressed with Ferrari this season. I'm going to continue to sleep on that, and I'll post my picks on Monday. So be on the lookout for that. That's the top side of the bracket, man. That's just freaking ridiculous. Bottom side of the bracket at 97, Eric Schultz from Nebraska, he's the 2 seed. Cordell Norfleet from Arizona State is the 3 seed. And then other guys on this bracket worth following, Jay Aiello from Virginia, he's the 11. He could see Pittsburgh's Nino Bonacorsi in the second round. Winner would probably see Cordell Norfleet in the quarterfinals, which would be a lot of fun. And then you're ready for this? Oklahoma's Jake Woodley, some reason the 28 seed, 26 seed, I can't read that, 20, yeah, 20, let's zoom in, 26 seed, he's got Rocky Elam from Mizzou. So you know, hey, a couple of guys with you know, I know Woodley hasn't had the best season at 9-7, but hey, that's a gnarly first round matchup, right? So, you know, hey, winner advances, probably gets Michigan State's Cam Caffey in the second round. Did I mention how much I love this weight, right? And then the winner of that one probably sees Schultz in the quarterfinals, but Schultz has to probably beat Michael Beard from Penn State in the second round. So your quarterfinals are some combination of Cordell Norfleet, J.I.L. O'Neal Bonacorsi, and then Rocky Elam, Jake Woodley, Cam Caffey, Michael Beard, Eric Schultz, right? Don't sleep on 97, guys. This is a really fun weight. Here I am laughing at it, just kind of looking at the bracket. Between the top side mess, where Warner's at, and the bottom side, just all these guys like Woodley, Elam, Caffey, like bananas. I love this weight. Anyway, 285. Tony Cassiope from Iowa, he's the 5 seed. So he is going to get Zachary Knighton Ward from Hofstra in the first round. Gable Steveson is the 1 seed. Your 4 seed here, Arizona State's Colton Schultz. Those are the main guys on the top half. Schultz could see Brian Andrews from Wyoming in the second round. Tony Cassiope, assuming he gets through Hofstra, I don't see a whole lot of issues for Cassiope to get through to the quarterfinals. I did want to make one point, though. There are a lot of people that were upset that Cassiope was not the 3 seed, and I am blown away as to why that is, because guys, he lost twice in the regular season pretty decisively to both Stevenson and Mason Paris, who are the 1 and 2 seeds. And then you look at the, you know, the fact that the Big Ten did not get to wrestle out of conference opponents. And then you take into account that Matt Stenzel from Central Michigan went undefeated, won the MAC title. Colton Schultz went undefeated. He has wins over both Carter Isley and Gannon Gremmel, plus a few more probably. You know, so he went undefeated, won a Pac-12 title. He's that's your 3 and your 4 seed. Like, those guys ran the table and they went undefeated. So no duh, Tony Cassiope is going to be the 5 seed. Like, if the Big Ten was allowed to wrestle out of conference opponents, you know, he would have seen Matt Stenzel at the Midlands because he beat him there last year. He maybe would have seen Colton Schultz at somewhere else, or Colton Schultz would have been able to see Gable or Mason Paris or some of these other guys. You know, like, everybody who's upset that Cass is the 5 seed, like, guys, this makes perfect sense. Like, everybody, you know, Gable Steveson ran the table. Mason Paris is the 2 seed. You know, shout out to the human element that probably swapped that around, and then Stenzel and Schultz ran the table. Like this, it makes perfect sense. Like, don't worry about it. That said, I like Cassiope's pass to the quarters because Hofstra shouldn't be much of an issue. Then he'll get either Tate, Orndorff, or Christian Lance, two guys that he has beaten this year. So Cass probably to the quarters. Well, he'll probably get Colton Schultz, and I think that's a matchup that wrestling fans should be excited about and Iowa fans should be very, very intrigued about. I know Colton Schultz, a lot of his expertise is in Greco, but he's beaten some good heavyweights this year, guys. Like, and I know I'm a huge Colton Schultz fan. You know, not that I'm going to be rooting for him, but I am very, very intrigued to see how he does here because you've got Gable, very clearly the top heavyweight in the country. Mason Parris, very clearly probably the number two. And then you've got Tony Cassiope leading the pack of guys behind him. And included in that pack is guys like Colton Schultz and Matt Stenzel. Probably throw Gannon Grimmel in there this year because he's had a really, really good season. So very intrigued by that. That's your potential quarterfinal. Gable's the top seed. He'll probably have to get through either Lehigh's Jordan Wood or Penn State's Greg Kirkfleet in order to get to the semifinals. I don't see much of an issue there. Whoever wins between Cass and Schultz probably gets Gable. You know, good luck, right? Like, we all saw Gable wrestle the Big Ten finals last week. You know, I don't see anybody beating him. You know, I'm more looking ahead to, you know, can this guy make the Olympic team this year? And he probably can. But, you know, who he's going to beat to get there, probably got Luke Luffman from Illinois in the second round. He's had a pretty solid year. Kirkfleet's the 9 seed. Jordan Wood's the 8 seed. That's your second round matchup probably. Winner gets Gable in the quarters, and then Gable will probably get either Cass or Schultz in the semifinals. On the bottom half of the bracket, mentioned this before already, Mason Parris from Michigan's the 2 seed. Matt Stenzel from Central Michigan is the 3 seed. Be kind of fun for the Blood Round boys to see Stenzel versus Parris in the semifinals. But to get there, Parris could potentially see Carter Isley from Northern Iowa, who's the 15 seed. He's got Virginia Tech's Hunter Katka in the first round. That'd be a pretty fun one, I think. You know, can Isley bounce back after a pretty rough Big 12 championship performance? So if he can get through Katka, probably sees Mason Parris in the second round. You know, and then on the other side of that quarter, Deontay Wilson from NC State, the 10 seed. He's undefeated, won NCAA title. Can he get through, you know, Nathan Traxler or Ethan Laird from Rider, Traxler from Stanford? That could be the second round matchup. Winner probably sees Parris in the quarters. Stenzel has Austin Harris from Oklahoma State in the first round. If he wins, he probably gets, I don't know where his health's at, but Trent Hilger from Wisconsin. He's got Josh Heinzelman from Oklahoma in the first round. Winners there get the second round matchup. And then Zach Elam from Mizzou, Brandon Metz, North Dakota State. Winner probably gets Gannon Grimmel from Iowa State. Grimmel's the 6th seed. He's got Sam Schuler from Buffalo, who's pretty tough. He needs to bring his A game. Grimmel does. So win there, you get either Metz or Elam. You win there, you probably get Stenzel in the quarterfinals. And at that point, you know, can you put together a good match on Friday morning in order to get on the podium in the top 6, and then you get your crack at probably Mason Parris, right? So, you know, Isley, I think he can beat Katka if he brings his A game. If not, it's going to be a long road through the Russellbacks. You know, if he beats Katka, loses to Parris, again, probably a long road through the Russellbacks, but, you know, it wouldn't shock to see it wouldn't shock me to see him in the blood round, I guess. So I like where all the heavyweights are at for everybody with Iowa ties. You know, it wouldn't shock me at all to see them all at least be in potential to earn an All-American spot. But we'll see what happens. You know, we could see Grimmel and Cassiope both in the semifinals. We could see everybody coming through in the blood round. So that's heavyweight. Those are all the brackets. We're going to take another quick break, and then I'll be back with that interview with Wartburg coach Eric Keller. Thanks, guys. That was a lot, but I hope you guys followed along all right and enjoyed it. I'm sure I'll have more thoughts and observations over the next week before we get to the NCAA championships. But I want to know how you guys feel. You heard my unfiltered thoughts. I want to hear yours. How do you feel about the brackets? What do you guys think? What do you think about the draws? What are your favorite matchups that you're potentially looking forward to? First round matchup, things like that. You know, I love talking with you guys. So shoot me a tweet, shoot me a message, whatever, and let's discuss this. We got a week until the big show, right? So what else are we going to do? Actually, we're going to end today's show, though, with a conversation with Wartburg's Eric Keller. Like I had mentioned before, his wrestling team has been through a lot over the last year. They were on the mats warming up when the NCAA announced that all winter sports postseasons would be canceled because of COVID-19. That was last season. Then they weren't sure if they were even going to be able to wrestle this season. Then they did. But then the NCAA announced that there wouldn't be a national tournament because of the lack of participation numbers among all D3 schools. And, well, that just sucks. But the wrestling community, man, is something special. USA Wrestling announced almost immediately that they would step up and help sponsor a division Division III national tournament. Within a week, they and the National Wrestling Coaches Association announced that a Division III national championship would be held at Extreme Arena this weekend, right down the street in Coralville. There will be 34 teams competing. Nearly all 10 weights will have full 32-man brackets. Competition starts Friday, and it continues all the way through Saturday, just like a normal Division III national tournament would. The only weird thing is the lack of an overall team score. It's not being kept, and that kind of bothers Keller a little bit. You guys will hear it in the interview, because Wartburg was probably the favorites to win that this year. The Knights, they have all 10 wrestlers are seated ninth or better, including four that are seated either first or second. Augsburg, likely the primary challenger this weekend, they have nine wrestlers seated ninth or better, and four of them are seated fourth or better. So to get you ready for this weekend's Division III tournament, I caught up with Coach Eric Keller to discuss the last 12 months for him and his team, what all these decisions and the emotions and everything in between kind of felt like and what they were hearing. And we also discussed just kind of how his guys responded and what he expects from them this weekend. Keller brings the juice as always, so let's transition to that now. Cue up that music, a conversation with Wartburg Coach Eric Keller. I hope you guys enjoy.
Cody, what's happening?
Not a whole lot, Coach. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. We get to wrestle a national tournament in a couple days.
Well, that was what I was kind of hoping to talk to you about. Just the fact, I know that you guys were really excited about your team this year, and I got to see you earlier this year, wrestle Iowa State, and have just been following along as the season unfolded. And, you know, then my heart broke, and then I was like, oh my gosh, the wrestling community is amazing, all in the span of about a week, just because of what you guys have kind of been through.
It's crazy. Yeah, man. I mean, it's been a roller coaster of emotions, honestly, this entire season. And you think back to even like in the fall when all of a sudden sports were getting canceled, you know, I mean, I get the Division I level ran, but like the fall sports got canceled for Division III. We were like, oh man, what's this mean? And then our start date for competition got pushed back. So, I mean, that makes you a little nervous, but then we're like, all right, because I was worried that Iowa State wasn't even going to happen. And then we were still able to get it. We rescheduled it, you know, so that was good. And then obviously, yes, the heartbreak of our NCAA is getting canceled. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, the NWCA steps up and everybody that's involved in making this thing happen, man, it's been crazy. Honestly, it's been crazy. And, you know, I guess my biggest thing is I've been amazed at our guys on how well they've maintained their positive attitude, you know, rolled with the punches, and just the resiliency in them. Because, you know, at that age, like going into the season, obviously not knowing 100% if it's going to happen. I mean, it was always obviously in the back of your head potentially, but like we worked really, really hard mindset wise and mentally not to focus on that. We focused on, we're having a national tournament. We're going to business as usual. And, you know, obviously in the fall it was different. We didn't get to practice that much. I think that kind of showed a little bit at Iowa State. We weren't quite where we needed to be in January, you know. But from that point on, we were able to practice like we needed to and do everything we needed to do to continue to grow and get better. And the biggest thing that, for me as a coach, you know, not very often, man, do you just step back and like analyze things, but man, I'm in awe of how our guys have responded, because that week that we got our NCAAs canceled, that was a Wednesday. We met on Thursday, and you know, the conversation I had with them was this: how we respond to this will define who we are as a program, as a team. This, you guys as a specific group right now in this time and place in history. And that very next weekend, I mean, we competed, and it was Central and BV, and we beat them 88-1. And I'm only bringing that up because, man, there's a lot of different directions that age of guys could have went emotionally. I mean, just, and they didn't waver. They stayed the course, you know. And then fast forward to the following weekend, you know, I mean, they dominating fashion to win the conference championship. We only lost one match in that duel, you know, against Loras. Just the way they've responded. I mean, it's been awe-inspiring. Just And then when we got the news of the NWCA national tournament, you know, how the focus shifted, and you know, I think they're a little bit disappointed, I guess, maybe. I don't wanna put a damper on it, but like, they were confused why there's no team score. You know, I mean, they were excited to wrestle for a team national championship. You know, that's one of those things that's why guys come to Warburg, to obviously win their own individual championship, but they were excited to wrestle for a team championship too, you know? And so that part was a little bit, I didn't have an answer. I don't know why. I don't want to not keep a team score for that, you know? But I said, hey, let's, just like everything we've done all year long, keep our focus, keep our perspective on positive. We're thankful we have a national tournament. We have an opportunity for these guys to go wrestle the best guys in the country at the end of the year, and we're excited about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know that there's, I mean, you kind of hit on a lot of it just right there. There's a lot of different, you know, whirlwind of emotions. And I mean, you said it kind of started in the fall. I would, you know, maybe started even back last year when, you know, you guys are on the mats getting ready for D3s, and they come off and say, you know, hey, we're not doing this. You know, I mean, 2 years in a row that the NCAA, at least, you know, one, the, you know, the first time probably makes a little bit of sense, I guess, given everything going on. The second time, I mean, I'm gonna be honest, it made absolutely zero sense to me why they decided to not do any winter sports championships, and especially wrestling.
Nope, I agree. And then you throw in the emotional side of this too. Think about it, like, here these guys are watching all these other divisions, Division II's having theirs, Division I's having theirs, you know, junior college. I mean, and so, I'm not bringing that up spitefully. I'm absolutely excited for those programs that they get to have it. You know, I'm thankful that those programs are having it, those divisions are having it. But how do you explain that? You know, how do you explain that to your guys that here we're not having a championship? Because, I mean, it makes no sense. You know, it just doesn't make sense. But, you know, through it all, this whole year has been teachable moments, you know, and ultimately that's the goal. And there's going to be a lot of things in life that aren't fair, you know, and how you respond to them and how you overcome. And so, I mean, this year more than any year, there's been a lot of just opportunities to help guys understand the big picture of thing. And that's what I've been so impressed with, is how they've responded and understood that. I mean, they've showed so much maturity, you know, and resiliency.
Absolutely. How has this really, this past year, how has it kind of tested you as a coach? I know you kind of alluded to that a little bit, but I mean, this is, you know, from, you know, hey guys, we're on the mats, we're all down to weight, but we can't wrestle, to, we don't know if we're going to have a season, to, you know, making sure that these kids stay the course, to, you know, from not having a national tournament, to having a national tournament, to, you know, potentially being in line for a team title, to not even, you know, keeping team score. I mean, there's a lot of different variables that I'm not sure, you know, how as a coach, how do you prepare for things like this?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I mean, I always kept the perspective of we're going to do it. We're going to, no matter what, we're going to find out how good we can be. I mean, that's the goal every year anyways. Regardless of anything else, we're going to find out how good we can be, each guy. And, you know, every day when we came in the room, that's where we kept the focus. That's where we kept the energy. And just keeping it on a daily process, you know, coming in every day, having fun, learning. And that way, you know, there's a lot of things we can't control. You know, we can't control what the NCAA is going to do. There's so many things out of our control that let's control what we can control. And that's our daily attitude. That's our daily effort, you know, our mindset, and really kept the focus on that. And literally it was weekly, because I mean, there's, about every week, we would have a plan on Sunday or Monday of what we're going to do that week, and it would change, you know, based on numbers, based on what we can do, and just being flexible, and but also, like, having gratitude that we're able to do what we're doing, and the perspective. There's a lot of people out there that, in our division, that aren't competing, that aren't even getting to practice, and we're grateful we are, you know, and so trying to live in the moment, really, you know, trying to live in the moment. I mean, you can't live in fear. You can't live in a what-if world, you know, and we refuse to do that. We refuse to mentally go down the path that our national championships was going to get canceled. And so up until it really did, we trained and fought and planned that it was going to. And then when it did get canceled, we just shifted on to what's the next thing, you know.
Absolutely.
So how quickly did you start here? Because I know that when the NCAA came out and announced that, you know, no Division III winter championships at all, I think it was that same day, or maybe it was the day after, where USA Wrestling was like, hey, we're going to step up and find a solution, right? And then within a week, NWCA comes out and says, hey, we're going to do this thing. It's going to be right here in Iowa at the new Extreme Arena. How quickly did you start to realize that, hey, something is probably in the works here, and these guys are going to be able to get to compete on a level like that?
Well, I'll be honest. When it first popped up, my initial reaction was I wanted to make sure that we were going to be able to have teams to participate. And, you know, and I mean that from this perspective, because every coach in the country was like, yes, yes, let's go. But it wasn't, we found out pretty quickly, it's not up to us coaches what we want. You know, there's administrators, there's conference. I mean, because a lot of it at the conference level for some of these schools that can't come to this one, you know, it's not even their decision. And so I guess I really wanted to make sure that we could have it. And then when it was evident that we could, like there's going to be enough teams to participate, we shifted gears, you know. And but you know, it's also like how amazing that, yes, USA Wrestling stepped up right away, wanted to help the NWCA. I mean, you saw what's great about the wrestling community. And it's people willing to step up and help. And, you know, from Mike Moyer at the NWCA, Dick Simmons, who's running the tournament down there, you know, and he's ran several Division III and some D2 national tournaments at the U.S. Cellular Center in Cedar Rapids. But he only has a year to plan it, where this year, I mean, it was literally, it's a month. He's got a month to plan this thing all of a sudden, you know, or whatever. But it just shows you how much people care and how quickly, even, you know, Luke Uses and his team down there at the arena and what they've done in this short amount of time to not just host the event, but to make this event a championship environment, a championship experience for these student athletes, which is what they deserve. And, you know, even our head athletic trainer, Ryan Callahan, I mean, they were having some issues trying to figure out the COVID testing and where they're going to go with testing and what they were going to do. And our head athletic trainer, Mike Moyer, and him connected, and he said, I'll do it. I'll head the whole thing up. And he's doing all the testing. He donated some of the tests for the testing to go on. I mean, but it just shows you, I mean, people that are willing to step up to the plate and with the big picture of, how do we give these student athletes the best opportunity and the best experience possible that they deserve? Because that's the key, man. They deserve this.
Absolutely, yeah. I kind of like I mentioned earlier, that, you know, last year it probably made a little bit of sense why we decided to kill everything this year. You know, I think their exact reasoning was the lack of participation at the D3 level, which I thought was really absurd because, you know, because a certain number of guys didn't compete, let's punish those who are able and willing to compete. That made absolutely zero sense to me. So I'm with you. Like, I'm so, so happy that these guys are going to get the opportunity to compete and, you know, everybody who can compete and is willing to, you know, do everything that they need to do to compete is going to be there. I mean, it's not going to be the NCAA D3 national tournament, but it is going to be a D3 national tournament, and I'm really excited for the guys, especially just after the last 12 months, right?
Absolutely. You know, and they needed this. I mean, they did. They needed this because, you know, emotionally, mentally, and, you know, wrestling, man, I mean, this isn't just something for most of these guys. It's not just something they do on the side. They love it. They live it. I mean, it's a lifestyle. It's a passion. For a lot of these guys, it's what they've done their whole entire life is for this opportunity. And then, you know, to have it taken away, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, 2 years, like, if that was it, like our last duel we had with North Central, if that would just been it, I mean, how empty that would have left some of these guys, you know? And so this is a fulfilling opportunity to go and compete against the best guys. And you know, it's something these guys have trained for and dreamed of their entire lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the other thing I wanted to touch on with you, Coach, is that I know that it made me smile a little bit that you brought up the fact that they're not keeping a team score, because I know that you guys were really excited about the team score aspect, just with the team that you guys knew that you were taking into the postseason. And, you know, I think what everybody is seated in the top eight, I'm pretty sure, if not better than that.
Yeah,
going
top
into this
nine.
Season.
Our 84 is nine, but everybody else is top nine is everybody. Yep.
Yeah. I know that you guys were really excited about the, you know, I remember just talking to a handful of people during that Iowa State duel. And I know you guys, you know, didn't get a lot of time to practice maybe the way you wanted to and weren't in as good a shape as you were probably hoping to be at that point in time. But
No, we were not.
But, you know, this team is really, you know, just kind of following you guys and the results throughout the year. I mean, this is a team that I know you guys were excited about. And it seems like as the year went along, they've really started to round into form. And, you know, just the seeding at this tournament coming up really, I think, is kind of indicative of how excited you guys were because they had this potential to be very good. How did this team come together for you guys?
Honestly, and that's exactly what it's been. I mean, it's literally been a week by week growth and development and process, and it's been fun as a coach just because we've literally been able to see them develop every week, and it's just guys buying in. I mean, they were bought in. They ultimately wanted to find out how good they could be, and that's what we talked about at the beginning of the year. With all this unknown, we're like, let's just find out how good we can be. Let's just go into this thing and let's just have fun and find out how good we can be. And they really embraced that. And that's what they did. I mean, in every week we just continue to grow and get better. And I go back to just their maturity and their resiliency and being able to just focus on that and not block out all the outside things, you know, block out all the potential. Because believe me, there's a lot of talk. I mean, all these, there's so much talk around, will you have it? Well, I mean, all year long, there was people asking them and people, you know, and they had the ability to just focus on, let's just find out how good we can be, and kept it at that. And I think that's been a big part of why they've continued just to grow and get better and continue. I mean, literally daily. I mean, they just keep getting better every single day.
Absolutely. Who on this team, you know, because I know you guys have, you got a lot of really talented wrestlers on this team from top to bottom. Who on this team has maybe surprised you the most or impressed you the most as the season has unfolded? Like who has made the most gains you feel like, or who is somebody that's maybe, you know, hey, I wasn't fully expecting what he was able to do this season. And, you know, by golly, he did it. I mean, who has been the surprise kind of this year's team, you think?
Well, I mean, I think watching this from the very beginning when he first got here, just watching his growth and his passion for wrestling and his love for wrestling I think he's a guy that just you could really see it just him getting better and getting better and getting better, and that guy's been he's been such a great addition to this program, and I nicknamed him the Silent Assassin just because he's a guy that doesn't say a word. I mean, he comes in every day and works his butt off. I mean, does absolutely anything and everything you ask him to do. And ultimately, I mean, he kind of encompasses what I was talking about. Hey, let's find out how good we can be. That's been him all year long. I mean, just wanting more knowledge, wanting to grow, wanting to learn, wanting to get better, not afraid to ask questions. I mean, just a kid that mindset-wise wants to find out how good he can be. And He's been a real pleasant man. I mean, it's been, I knew the guy had ability, but just watching him develop this year has been awesome.
Absolutely. The national championship coming up. It's Friday, Saturday. You know, I think I got called for state basketball duty on Friday, unfortunately, but I will be out there on Saturday. You know,
nice.
I was really excited to watch last year's in Cedar Rapids. And I remember sitting, I forgot where I was on the Thursday where everything got canceled. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Like the one year I finally get to go watch D3s. Cause I, you know, we're so wrapped up in high schools and D1s that, you know, like the one year that NAIs was in Des Moines, I was finally able to go see that one. And, you know, whenever D2s comes back, I really want to put that on my schedule. So I was really amped that, you know, D3s was in Cedar Rapids. And, you know, so I was just as bummed as everybody when the NCAA was just like, yeah, we're not doing it this year. And then I was just as excited when the NWCA was just like, yeah, you know, we're going to figure out how to do this. So I know that most of the excitement and a lot of the fun happens on day one, but day two, I'm really excited to kind of watch that and obviously see the finals. And, you know, I'm anticipating a lot of your guys to still probably be wrestling on day two, perhaps even into Saturday night. I mean, I know you mentioned that the expectation is to just find out how good they can be. But, you know, what would mark a successful weekend, you think, for your guys?
I think all these guys just wrestle their full potential, you know, and that's all we ever ask them to do, you know, is just wrestle at your highest God-given potential and fight the whole time. They do that, I'm happy when they walk off the mat, no matter what, you know, and that's our level of expectation, and that's also how we measure success. And they do that, we're going to have a fun weekend.
Big thanks again to Coach Keller for making the time today to chat with me. I seriously can't wait for this weekend's Division III championships, you guys. I was upset when they weren't able to wrestle them last year. I try to get to some of these smaller tournaments when my schedule allows, you know, or if it's within, you know, a reasonable driving distance. When the NAIA National Tournament was in Des Moines a few years ago, I was able to go and watch Grandview put up like a 219 points that weekend, but it was also the first time I was able to watch NAIA wrestling, like the best of NAIA wrestling. That was a lot of fun. And I was amped to finally watch the D3 tournament last season. Unfortunately, COVID-19 had other plans, so I'm only going to be able to get there Saturday this weekend, but I'm excited to see the finals and the All-Americans take the floor that day. It should be an exceptional weekend of wrestling. Don't forget, D2 National Tournament's also going on, and the NAIA Women's National Championships are going on as well. We got Grandview up there, William Penn, Waldorf, lots of Iowa ties up there. Your boy's going to have coverage. I'm going to have tweets. Be sure to follow along, and if you guys know of anything or see anything that piques your interest, let me know. Always love hearing what you guys think and what you guys are seeing and hearing and feeling, and things like that. So that's all we've got today, you guys. Pretty long show, but thanks a bunch for listening. Be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your shows. Follow your boy on Twitter at Cody Goodwin, Instagram Cody J Goodwin, and also be sure to subscribe to the Des Moines Register to catch all my stories, mailbags, analysis, videos. You can find links to do all of that, as well as stories from the past week, in the show notes. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for listening, you guys. We will talk again soon.